You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Keep someone in the evil from meal to wash this and your pants and make really enough physicians.
Whoa! Oh, sorry, my immersion just wore off. Hey, so this review got a little long. I mean, can you blame us? There's so much to talk about this movie. So we broke these up into two parts. This first part here is a non-spoiler section that's free for everybody. Our spoiler section will be available through our subscriber forums. So please become a member of the site and you get to listen to our full entire thoughts on all the crazy twists and turns that happened in this movie. And who knows? We might actually help you explain some of the things that happened in this, maybe. Let's give it a shot. Here we go. You know it's going to be a fun review when I ask people, hey, who wants to try and summarize the synopsis of the movie? And everyone just kind of side-eye looks at me just like, really?
Side-eye looked at you. I was like, what the fuck is the synopsis of this movie?
Oh,
some
man.
Dude walks up to some other dude and says, I need you to find stuff. Why? I don't know, because I asked you nicely, I guess. And then just fucks off and does it.
We're going to have some fun opinions discussing this movie. This is the highly anticipated savior of cinema, quote, from Christopher Nolan, Tenet. Now, this is interesting because Christopher Nolan, obviously we know he's famous for doing Dark Knight. He did, you know, Batman Begins, Inception, Memento, and then his last few movies, he did Interstellar and then Dunkirk previously, which, admittedly, I enjoy Dunkirk. You know, it was different. It was something a little bit more grounded for him.
Yeah, I love Dunkirk.
Yeah, same.
I'm the only person I didn't feel for it. Whatever he was trying to do, I felt like he didn't really pull it off. He wanted to tell this weird epic, but then he also didn't really know what he wanted to focus on. So when he focused on the individual people, it was cool. But when he focused on the grand scale, I'm like, dude, I don't even know what time period I'm in.
I don't know if I would watch it again, but like it's one of those movies like Nolan's known for. It's like you got to watch it in IMAX for the experience. I don't know if the movie was that good itself, but the experience.
Yeah, they said
cool.
The same thing about Avatar.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, for you say Dunkirk's hard, like, you know, kind of like trying to be a little ambitious and stuff. Dunkirk reads like the Hardy Boys compared to this movie. Because man, so let's just introduce ourselves. I am Justin Zarian. Hey everybody, it's been a while. And then over here we got my wife Lexi.
Hi.
Hey honey. Over here we got Max.
What's up guys?
And then over here we got Alan C on this side.
Yeah, good enough.
Yeah, good enough. There you go. And then over here, the inverted version, we got Alan G.
One hello.
What's going on? Alan's here.
Hey, I know. It just so happened that two people who I want to get on this review both happen to be Alan on this one.
And y'all can't see this because this is an audio recording, but we have the same fucking hair, like, not hairstyle, but same fucking beard style. If I were to turn my camera on, we are just alternate versions of each other right now.
I think that is true. I think there's... Did you enter that giant merry-go-round machine and invert yourself to another direction?
Whatever the fuck that was.
It turned from red to blue.
So, I'm going to try to explain the gist of what happened to this movie. Now, I say this, we're going to go through some general impressions, talk about this movie to start, and then we have to talk in depth on this movie. So there will be a clear spoiler section once we get there, but we'll give general feedback and our general final thoughts and then go really in depth into what we thought about this movie. Question mark?
why are you putting a question mark around the word movie? Like, we didn't know what we
because
watched.
What I saw wasn't it was an experience. It was a sensation. They even told us it was more like a feeling than a thinking thing. I dare call it a fully coherent movie. But anyway, Tenet essentially is a story about John David Washington, who the guy doesn't even have a name. His name is literally the protagonist in this story. He is a dude from, I think, the CIA, who is recruited by this shadowy Illuminati-like organization called that refers to itself with its code name Tenets, that they just say to let you know you're part of the club. And they tell him, hey, there's some stuff going on with plutonium and time reversal that inverts objects to move backwards in time. And he has to stop World War III from happening because of reasons.
You did a good job, honey. Okay. You tried.
And then Robert Pattinson shows up.
I mean, I think that's as far as you could go without like some like hardcore Nolan heads getting pissed about giving something away.
Yeah, spoiling.
Well, I want to point this out. I'm a hardcore Nolan head, and I'm pissed. for anyone that's been on my Facebook and saw me essentially have a mental breakdown through Facebook posts.
Yeah.
That is the best you can get, because the movie sets that up and it's like, okay, I kind of get what's going on. But you know how in Inception, where you didn't really know what was going on the first like 15, 20 minutes, where you're in the dream and crazy shit's happening and you're like, what exactly is going on? Is this a simulation? Do these people have powers? And then once everything kind of settles down, the movie has this, basically stops and talks to you and tries to explain to you the world you're going in. That's where they introduce Ellen Page's character. This movie doesn't have that. This movie is basically, instead of Cobb being your main character, Ellen Page is your main character. And instead of you getting the explanation, some scientist just spouts out some random bullshit about time travel and then fucks off for the rest of the movie.
Well, no, even better. She spouts off nonsense about time travel and then literally looks to the camera and goes, don't think, just feel. And that's pretty much to the audience, more or less.
And the problem with that is this is such an interesting concept, because the movie does a lot of interesting stuff with this inverted kind of film stuff where I honestly don't even know how the fuck he did it. It's visually spectacular, but if you don't understand the core concept of what's happening, it is just nonsense on screen.
Yeah, I agree. The difference between like something like Inception is this: there is like an emotional core to it, and they kind of play with the effects in that. And this movie has like no, because John David Washington is just accepts it blindly like a good soldier. It's like, okay, and just does it. Like, it's kind of like we're supposed to do that as well. But it's really hard as the movie goes on, and like you're always playing catch up. Like, I found myself like I would figure what was going on, but like 20 minutes after something happened, and it wasn't a rewarding feeling. It was like a frustrating. Like, I'm always just a bit behind what's happening.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you on the lack of emotional core. Like, it felt like there was something missing with like, because he didn't really like, it's as he mentioned earlier, there wasn't even a name for the main character. And at first, I thought I just was, like, dumb and just missed it because...
Yeah, me too.
I was like, did they say his name? I don't remember, you know?
Yeah, and honestly, part of me kind of liked it. I was like, okay, he's just like, this is fill in the blanks, like, James Bond meets time travel, go. And this is like, mm-hmm. As an audience, he's like, let's go with it. But, I mean, Christopher Nolan's known for killing someone's wife in movies as emotional cores.
Yeah.
And
Oh my God. Yeah. I was about to say with Prestige and Inception.
Yeah. So there's no dead wife in this one, but there's like a damsel. But even that, like, there's still, it lacks a central figure who's figuring out with you or something you can latch onto that they even play with like the themes of time and going back and forth. There's nothing there. It's just pure. Like mechanics, you know?
Yeah, it's all plot and then a couple set pieces, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the that's the problem where it's like John David Washington in the movie, I can't even fully judge his performance as being good or bad, because the problem is that his character is only defined by a couple of quips he makes every now and then. Otherwise, you literally learn nothing about him as a person. You learn nothing about his background. You learn nothing about his skill set. He just happens to be very good. Once they explain to him how this inversion time travel stuff works, he's just like you said, Alan, he's just like, okay. And he just goes with it for the rest of the film.
He immediately accepts it, continues on, and it's like the movie just, it honestly feels like this is a 4-hour movie and we just lost 40 minutes because it just jumped. And the thing is this movie is like, well, it's time travel, right? Maybe there's some bullshit we don't understand. And that was the only thing that kept me going. Because I literally turned to a buddy of mine. I'm like, yo, I guarantee you in like 40 minutes at the halfway mark, they're going to do some bullshit and explain everything.
Here's the thing. They do explain it, but at the hour and a half mark in the movie. And it's a 2.5-hour movie. So literally, there's a whole movie worth of plot that you don't understand. And then they finally explain a thing to you about what's going on. You're like, okay, I get.
But it doesn't make any sense. That's
the problem. Exactly. I get it, but I don't understand why it happened.
It's also hard to like understand. It was at least hard for me to understand even just some of the dialogue.
Yeah.
Because the sound mixing was pretty rough.
Dude, the mix was rough.
In my opinion.
Dude, yeah, the sound mixer should be fired, like out of a cannon.
Yeah, instead of somebody who has like some like hard of hearing, like, I mean, yeah. And I'm like sitting there and I'm like, I can see like their mouths moving. And it just sounds like they're underwater, because then you have like the music just going, and you're just like, what did I just say? I want to know what's happening, and I can't even follow the dialogue.
It's like watching the Peanuts. It's like, yeah. It's like the adults from the Peanuts are explaining time travel.
Well, you know, you're not supposed to hear what they're saying. You're supposed to feel what they're saying. You know,
it's like, oh, I felt a lot. It was mostly anger.
I don't know about you guys, but I saw it in IMAX, and I have never seen a movie that is this loud ever. Like, every single gunshot hurt my ears.
Wait, Dunkirk, dude? This was like
70 times louder than Dunkirk when I saw both in IMAX. This shit was like... And like, yeah, and I couldn't hear half of what they were saying because it was so loud. I guess it was just the bad mixing. But
we avoided the IMAX screening because Dunkirk almost deafened me during that opening sequence when I went to go see it in IMAX. So I'm like, yeah. But then I do hear people that if you want to go be a purist and see like the film projection prints of this, like 70mm or 35, that one's apparently even harder to understand than the digital print. So
that's what you needed subtitles on.
I wonder if you could get that thing that AMC does where they let you like put glasses on with like subtitles. I wonder if you could like get that for the movie.
Knowing Nolan, he probably didn't want to do it to avoid the cinematic glory that is whatever the fuck he shat on screen.
You know, so, and we're kvetching a lot about the plot, and we're gonna get way deep into the plot in the spoiler section because I got a lot to say about what happens in this movie. But I will say some praises for this movie to not just make it a whole complaining thing. First of all, this movie is very pretty to look at. It's shot by Hoyt Van Hoytema, the guy who did the last three Christopher Nolan films. And
that sounds about right.
Yeah, it's very pretty. It's very crisp. It's very clean. It's very, like, most of the time, the editing isn't too fast, but you can't see what's going on. So that way, there's very crisp images throughout the entire film.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's kind of undisputed. Like, Christopher Nolan, as confusing and confounding as he could be sometimes, like, undisputed, cinematography is always on point, and he could shoot and stage action, like, really well. Like, even though I didn't know what was happening a lot of times, when the action sequences were happening, I was like, I'm in for this, like, 5-minute section, at least, you know, engaged, for sure.
Yeah, and then I think that the actual music, when you listen to it on its own, like on YouTube or Spotify or something like that, it's actually pretty good music. It's just cranked up to 14 on the audio mixing most of the time.
And a cool fact about that, because they were obviously finishing this, you know, right around lockdowns happening and things. Apparently the soundtrack was recorded like individually with each of the musicians in their home, and then they like basically just compiled it together to like make the score.
Wow. So
like huge praise for like the people who worked on the soundtrack. Even if it was blurring over dialogue, I have to admit it was a great soundtrack, you know, and kudos for them for doing such a great job of the, you know,
the music
putting that together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Like the score was phenomenal. The set pieces were really interesting. The way that they use sound, like if you don't give a shit about the dialogue and you're just hearing the sound when it comes to gunshots or people punching each other, people hitting each other, it's really, really well done. Again, it reminds me a lot of The Dark Knight, especially when he's like the way guns fire. Because like when you watch a movie, it's like, oh, boom, boom. But with this, you hear the clicking of the gun. You hear the shells go out. It's like I mean, knowing Nolan's crazy ass, he probably fired real guns. Like some
He's not Michael Mann who fires a lot of rounds.
I don't know, man. Michael Mann, you watch this going, shit, how'd you do that?
Talking about the music, it's like a pretty obvious thing, but they use it cleverly. There are times when like the time is being all wonky and going like parts of the score is in reverse and other parts are still going forward, and it's like it plays with that like sonically as well, which is just
really cool.
The technical aspects of that are really cool.
And you know, I will say that most of the actors are doing the best they can with how limited, because honestly, other than John David Washington and mostly Robert Pattinson, who shows up probably for only like 20 to 30, you know, 20-ish minutes of the whole film, everyone else is kind of a revolving door of extras, essentially. Even the big name actors, like, dude, the dude from Yesterday, the Indian actor from that, what's his name? He shows up for like literally 3 minutes of screen time out of nowhere in this movie, and he's gone without even a goodbye. Just like, oh, he was here, bye, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, the editing in this movie is so bad. Like, not saying the sound editing, we've already talked shit about that. But the actual editing of people going from scene to scene is so jarring, where it's like, I gotta talk to somebody, and they'll just teleport like across the fucking planet to talk to the person. I'm like, yeah, like I get it, like I don't need to see the motherfucker buy a plane ticket, but like, why are we here right now?
I'm glad I'm not the only one that noticed that. Like I wouldn't, like about the first half of the film, I especially felt was very noticeable. Like there was like one scene where you know, the main guy is like talking with, I think it was with Robert Pattinson or something, I'm not really sure, but They're talking, and it's like, and it's like they just barely finished talking, and he looks like he's about to say something, and it literally cuts, and it goes to something else, and you're just like, what?
Yeah, the pacing, the editing itself is not bad in terms of actual cutting. It's the pacing of the editing where everything feels like it's on like 3x speed.
You feel like you're really able to catch up. You're just like, I need to breathe, and you can't because it's just going.
It moves so fast, so fast. And it's still like long, but it's just nonstop in motion.
You can almost forgive that because the movie basically, its entire foundation is, you can forgive all its bullshit because it's time travel. And if you've ever seen anything related to time travel, I don't know if you guys remember the fucking third Harry Potter movie, but the third Harry Potter movie revolves around time travel. And there's a lot of scenes that don't make any sense in the context the first time you see them. But then when they go back and do the time turn and you see the events from a different point of view, they suddenly make more sense. That's what I expected to watching through this movie. I was like, I was forgiving. I'm like, all this stupid bullshit will be explained at some point. But the movie, again, the movie lies to you and Nolan betrays you because none of that stuff makes sense in different contexts.
Everyone betray me.
This is a betrayal. It's something Ali G said earlier in the review that Nolan's confusing. I have never felt Nolan's been confusing. First time I watched Inception, fucking loved it. Clapped. It was one of the fucking best movies I saw that year. I subsequently watched it 5-6 more times because of how much I enjoyed that movie. I never found that movie confusing because he takes the time to explain it. Same thing with anything that happens in the Dark Knight trilogy. Same thing that happens in the Prestige. Anything gets explained, so you never feel like it's confusing because it rewards you for sticking with the dense narrative. This is the opposite. This is Nolan saying, I don't give a shit about explaining it. I just want to blow shit up. He's pulling a Michael Bay.
Yeah, there is a few things that feel very Michael Bay, especially one set piece where I'm just like, I don't know why you needed to do all of that just for this very simple problem that you had here. Yeah, so there's a lot of that. And the only other things I'll say before we start winding down to actual spoiler talk, because I want to talk about some plot points here, but Kenneth Branagh is in this movie, and I don't know if he just thinks that he's really great at Russian accents, because he did the exact same accent he did in Jack Ryan Shadow Recruit, and it's...
The fact that you remember that movie is hilarious.
But that's the thing. The only reason I remember that is because he's doing that same goofy Russian accent where he's just like, I am a Russian man, and I will murder you if you disobey me. It's just so...
It's out there.
He played a British general or a British dude in the fucking last Nolan movie. Like, man, what is with Hollywood and not hiring Russians for Russian?
Well, that's the thing. I'm just like, why couldn't he just be a British villain? You know what I mean? Like, he is essentially one of the major bad guys in the story, but there was no reason to make him Russian.
No, there is a significant plot point to him being Russian, actually.
Yeah.
But we can't get into it yet.
We can't talk into it, but, like, you have to make him Russian. You could have just hired a Russian guy, but yeah.
Yeah. And then also, Elizabeth Debicki is in here as... I guess the romantic curiosity more than a love interest, because she's just there to be a motivation for John David Washington, but she literally has the exact same character that she played in The Night Manager in this movie. She literally has the exact same motivations and personality traits in this film.
And they would have got Vanessa Kirby, but she's too busy doing like 100 other movies, so they couldn't get her. Like, they are interchangeable to me to the extent where, like, did I see you in Hobbs and Shaw? And the uncle? Wait, no. Two different people, two different movies.
It was funny. My sister kept turning to me. She was like, she's so tall. Compared to everybody else.
He is. She's like the tallest person in the movie.
Oh my.
That, but like a significant number.
When she first is inspecting that painting with John David Washington, she's like standing a head and a half taller than him.
Well, like, even the screen has to like accommodate it a little bit, and you can't even accommodate. It's like, oh, hi.
Nolan's like, fuck, good thing I filled an IMAX, man.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of general points there. It's just, again, this is one of those weird cases where production-wise, outside of the terrible sound mixing and some other points, it's not a badly produced movie because Christopher Nolan knows how to spend his money in a lot of those cases. You know, the thing I would give the best praise for, there's actually almost no visual effects from CG stuff in here. Almost everything you see in this movie is practical.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's hard to believe in some cases.
It's hard to believe, but it is true because apparently they act, you know, because Nolan's an insane maniac that he built special cameras to film scenes backwards and forwards at the same time, wow. Essentially.
That's what I wanted to mention. That is, like, as much as I hate this movie, some of the shit they did with the reversing, going backwards and forwards in the same shot, is probably some of the most amazing filmmaking I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Like, that stuff is amazing. And especially because, for people who have seen the trailers, there's a whole hour of this movie that aren't even hinted at all in the trailers. So if you're going in cold, you will be in for a surprise with a few things that happens in this movie.
Motherfucker, you can watch the trailer, read the wiki page, and that's still the equivalent of going in cold.
That was the most interesting thing about this movie, was, like, the mystique going into it and not knowing what was going to happen. And that's why I was so disappointed.
I know we're about to get into more spoiler stuff, but I think I could say... A thing that helped me contextualize the movie, like, as everyone knows, like, Christopher Nolan's love for James Bond and how he's just always ripping it. And if you just put it in a context like, okay, in a James Bond movie, what happens? Super arch villain is setting up something that's world ending. James Bond just goes, talks to random people, does random things, ridiculous effects, ridiculous things. He gets the villain at the end. You know, like, that's the plot. And that's kind of the plot of this, except it's just muddled with time mechanics that aren't really... That's hard. But if you do that, like, it's just because Nolan has this, like, prestigious air about him, or people put his movies on that level, we expect a little more, like, meat out of his movies. But it's just a real simple, like, arch villain twisting a mustache campy movie. And, like, when you look at it like that, it's like, okay, you know, that was fine. It was frustrating, but fine, fun, I guess. I don't know. It's just when you take it off the pedestal, it's a lot better, you know? Then what we all like, oh, the movie's into safe cinema. It's just like, okay, you made a James Bond movie. There's one of those coming out later this year. You know, like, it's...
Yeah, there's a James Bond movie coming out this year to which everyone, I don't know, I don't give a fucking care less. Like, we already have 3 John Wick movies. We don't need any more James Bond movies.
You know what? I at least will say that at least with the new James Bond movie, I feel like I will understand the plot better and maybe enjoy it a little bit better because of that.
Yeah.
So oh, yeah, I can't wait to watch Daniel Craig sleepwalk through another performance.
Oh, well. But yeah, why don't we start winding down with final thoughts here? You know what? I'll go first so I can let everyone else have the last thoughts on this. Essentially, this movie is James Bond, The Night Manager, and then the video games Control and Quantum Break smashed together into a blender, except they took out...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's all those, but then they took out all the character development and personality, because literally, that's the most frustrating thing about this movie, is that on top of the confusing time mechanics, there's literally no character development at all. It's all plot. All plot throughout the entire movie to, like, 4 set pieces that Christopher Nolan planned out ahead of time, and then he just kind of wrote a script around it. And honestly... You know, I say the plot, like, the actual filmmaking for the fight scenes are pretty impressive. They're not the best fight scenes he's ever filmed. Like, that car chase, honestly, was kind of boring to me. I didn't really care for it at all.
But they're not the worst.
Not the worst. It's well filmed, but it's one of those things where it's just like, well, there's not really anything impressive happening in the car chase other than one car driving backwards. I will say, though, the most impressive set piece was the final thing. And even though... It's a final thing where I couldn't tell who they were shooting at because you never actually see who they're firing in that thing.
I would give you $100 right now if you're done with the fuck was going on that third act.
Yeah, like, it was the most amazing set piece on construction. It's just that thing where I'm like, I don't know what happened in that scene, but it was awesome.
I started falling asleep during that scene.
If that scene was properly set up, it'd be like, holy shit. But the fact that, like, they show up there and I have no idea who the bad guys are, or like, I was like, who are these? Just like, does this Russian villain just have a army at his disposal? I was so confused by it. I had no idea what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, I even had to, like, ask you, like, partway through the film. I, like, leaned over and I whispered, I'm like, who are they shooting at? And you're like, it's those guys there. And I'm like, I see one.
I saw one guy in a gray suit, and that's how I knew they were shooting at somebody.
Look, that one guy was John Wick, okay?
Yeah, so just to wind down, I'm going to give this movie 5.5 out of 10 conversations of Kenneth Branagh telling you how to cut your balls off. Lexi, why don't you go ahead with yours?
You guys said a lot of how I felt about it, too. We both saw it together, and it was, like, really exciting because, you know, we're just like, oh, it's like a new Christopher Nolan movie. I'm personally a big fan of Christopher Nolan. You know, I've enjoyed most of the films I've seen past, like, I think The Dark Knight. I haven't seen his earlier stuff, but yeah, I kind of went in like not like understanding, you know, not knowing what the plot is or anything. I'm like, yes, this is really exciting, and I left still not knowing what the plot is, still very confused. And I felt kind of disappointed by that because, you know, as you mentioned earlier, like with Inception, it's like, the thing is, that one is also sort of in some ways confusing, but it's to me, it's more dense than it is confusing because he sets it up so it's easy to, like, follow along once he explains things. And so you're like, okay, so I understand going in, this is what it's going to be. And I felt like of this movie, there was only, like, maybe one or two scenes where he kind of does it. But even then, you're still like, it doesn't feel explained enough. It feels, like, underexplained. And so you still kind of feel like you're going in a little bit blind, even in the second half where they have explained most of it. And you're just still like, wait, what? Like, you're still not fully understanding, like, how the mechanics of this stuff works and all that. And so it's like, it's so frustrating. And one thing, I had a lot of problem with, like, the audio. the visuals were amazing, obviously.
Let's just say this. Anytime someone's wearing a mask, just don't expect to hear anything.
Yeah,
they say.
Like, I think, you know, as I mentioned, my hearing's kind of bad. And so, like, I had a moment where I'm just like, there's like this, like, one, there's a few scenes actually where there's like a lot of noise created by some other stuff around them, like other vehicles. And I'm just like, I'm like leaning forward. I'm like, I want to know what they're saying. And I can't understand it. And it was just very, very frustrating. Like, I actually think I missed, like, a whole section of, like, understanding part of the plot because I couldn't couldn't hear them. I was like, wait, that happened? Like, my husband had to explain it to me after the fact. I was like, wait, that was what it was? I didn't catch it. And I felt so mad, you know? It ruined the experience a little bit for me, even though I know Christopher Nolan wants me to experience it. But I'm like, but I'm not a mind reader, so it's a little hard. I think overall, I just felt a little bit disappointed because I think I had, and I think that's part of the problem, is I had a lot of high expectations because Christopher Nolan really is an amazing filmmaker. There was a lot of amazing stuff in this film, but it wasn't enough to like satisfy me. Like the plot was like, that was just all it was just plot. And I personally need a little bit more than just cool action pieces to enjoy a film. Though I did like Robert Pattinson. He was probably my favorite part of the film, not gonna lie.
I kind of wish he was in more of it.
I kind of do too. I think he was probably one of the more enjoyable, like, you know, parts. But I think overall, it's kind of hard to pick a rating. But like, I don't want to completely trash on it. But like, I just really, I really found it so hard to like. I think I'll do 4 fancy yachts out of 10. Or 4. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there
I
don't you
know.
Go. Yeah,
I want to do it higher, but I just can't. I just can't.
I will say one thing that happened in our theater that was hilarious and totally just threw off our experience of the movie. So we actually did see this in theaters, and the projector at one point, like an hour into the movie, when John David Washington's explaining to Robert Pattinson how time travel works, the projector broke. And the screen split into 2 and color coordinated red and green.
Yeah, I legitimately thought it was part of like the film. I was just like, whoa, Christopher Nolan's going on all of this.
Know, and then I realized it was literally timed perfectly. It's like, this is a process called like quantum inversion. And then literally the screen split right there.
And you're like, whoa. And you're like,
wow, this is like the. It's like the Arkham fucking Asylum stuff. Is this part of the game?
Oh, it looks just like that too when it happened. I actually had to complain to the manager. I'm like, dude, the screen is broken. What happened?
Yeah, and you can like see people in the theater just being like, what? And like everyone's
part of the movie.
Oh, then rewind it back a little bit, back to the opening part. But I couldn't pay attention to anything when it happened. I was like, what? What? I know they're explaining important stuff, and I don't know what's going on anymore.
Oh, that's great. But you know what? Alan G., why don't you go ahead?
Yeah. So I agree with, like, it's kind of a mixed bag for me. I think I liked it a baby bit more than y'all, but mostly because, like I said, once I just, like, took it off the pedestal and was just like, this is just dumb action with, like, you know, sure, it's fine, it's fun. I really like John David Washington's performance just because it was, like, different from what you see in an action leading man. He kind of has, like, an aw shucks, okay kind of quality going on.
He almost has a Denzel Washington capacity.
Yeah and he can go like hard too. It's so I found that interesting, but yeah, I don't know, it's there were times still where I was like kind of awestruck by what I was seeing, and then after that I'm just like, but how that guy was going backwards, does that mean he's like, which side are we on? I don't like, and it's still like, it sucks to have to like do homework in your head as you watch and when arguably it's just like a fancy version of like Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Like, it's just like, like you call it Time Cop 2 and you got like a hit on your hands. I don't know. It's
Time Cop 2. Yeah,
Time Cop 2. It's personal. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. You know, it's better than okay because it is like incredible cinematically at times, but it's also just like a mess to keep up with. So yeah, I'll go 6 out of 10 inverted confusion bullets. Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused.
Max, what about you?
Yeah, I think everything's pretty much been said, but like the biggest problem with this movie is the hype and expectations living up to it. Because I remember when the first IMAX trailer came out right before Rise of Skywalker, that trailer was like the longest trailer ever. Everybody's walking out the movie. They were like, are we in the right movie right now? the second time I saw Rise of Skywalker, I had to tell people like, no, go back in, this is the right movie. And that from that trailer on, it's just like, what the hell is this movie? It's just like, it seemed like the cool, like it's gonna be the coolest thing ever, and I was just super disappointed. I saw Inception in IMAX again like 3 days before this, and then the day after this, I went and saw Interstellar in theaters just because I wanted something better. And I think Interstellar is like by far my favorite Nolan movie. So I was just expecting some kind of crazy, like mind-blowing twist to happen. And the entire movie, nothing happened like I was expecting. So I think Interstellar just kind of ruined it for me. Yeah, I think, honestly, I was saying this on Twitter. My favorite part of the movie was the Wonder Woman 84 trailer before it. that was way better than the actual movie. Trailer. But
she swung on lightning.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate it, but I was just super let down. I thought the music was awesome. The soundtrack was awesome. Some of the set pieces, I was really bored. Like the final set piece, I was falling asleep. Like actually, it just seemed like a big like battle in Halo where you didn't, like you said, you couldn't tell who's shooting who, what was going on.
They literally enter through drop ships that look just like Halo stuff going on.
It just seemed like a big like Halo map. When in Halo, like when you're playing multiplayer, it doesn't have any story. It's just like a big drop ship and you had a big drop map. And I didn't even really like the reversed effects that much. I feel like they would have been better if they actually had some CGI instead of actually just reversing the film. I don't know. It's like I wanted something cool to happen when it got reversed, but instead of just reversing. But I don't think I really have anything else to say. The other thing I wanted to bring up, by the way, was the whole like weird the whole thing where they're having to like a certain amount of screens in each theater have to be playing this movie. It really annoys me because it's like cannibalized all the screens and now like no movie theaters are showing the classic movies they were showing for the last few weeks.
Yeah, no, I noticed that too, that when in our theater in Utah, we went to go visit some friends there, like literally, like I think half to two thirds of the movies were Tenet, and then there was just a bunch of scattered screenings of everything else.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like every 20 minutes is a new showing of Tenet for whatever their agreement was. It was like some percentage of screens have to be showing it. And it was like, the last two or three weeks, they were showing like a whole bunch of old classic movies. Now it's like Unhinged and Words on Bathroom Walls and one other one and like a billion Tenets and that's it.
And Bill and Ted and that's it.
And yeah. that kind of annoys me because it's supposed to be like the savior of movie theaters, but then they're like, it's now one of the only movies playing because it's its own fault. But obviously that doesn't affect my review score at all, but I'm just thinking like, I don't know. I am going to see the movie again in the next week or two just to like see if it's better without any hope going into it, like without like having the like a massive expectation through the whole movie.
Are we talking about an M. Night Shyamalan movie,
right? Yeah, I'm gonna see it again and see what I think about it. But right now, it's like a 6 out of 10 bullet holes in glass that I wanted something cool to happen. Nothing really happened.
All right, now Alan C., I want to hear what you have to say. Final thoughts.
Okay, fuck. The last time I was this fucking mad watching a fucking movie, I walked out of Dark Phoenix. Because this is a movie in which I had expectations walking in. Of course I did. I'm one of the biggest Nolan fans that I fucking know. The Dark Knight isn't just my favorite Batman movie or favorite comic movie. It's my favorite movie of all time. I've lived my life defending Christopher Nolan and all of his fucking movies. The Prestige, which you call Batman Begins and Inception, came out in a fucking row. This man, to me, was the greatest director fucking working. Now Dennis came on the scene and I kind of like him a little bit more. But... What the expectation walking into every single Nolan movie is that he's going to do some crazy bullshit, crazy explosions, but he's going to have enough of the story that you give a shit about what's going on. You're going to want the main character to go through. You're going to want the main character to accomplish their goal. And you're going to want some incredibly sophisticated sci-fi that sometimes borders on cheese, but sometimes has this incredible lines of dialogue or set pieces or just something that no one else is doing in fucking cinema. Inception is a monumental movie that I don't understand how he got the funding for. Probably because he made the fucking best movie ever made a few years prior to The Dark Knight. So they gave him carte blanche to whatever the fuck he wanted. And he made an incredible fucking movie that was incredibly dense. A movie that should not have existed in our fucking... during that time, the movie that sits down and explains so much. So he earns your respect. He earns your ability to walk into a movie knowing what you're gonna fucking get. This is a fucking betrayal of everything that Nolan stands for. This is just, if Michael Bay just said, fuck it, I'm gonna direct a movie. Who cares about the dialogue? Who cares about the main character's name? Can you name anybody in a fucking Michael Bay movie? No, because it doesn't fucking matter. You're there for the fucking explosions. This is the same fucking thing. He spent $56 million on a fucking plane? That scene was fucking garbage. I'm sorry, that scene was fucking trash. This entire thing was to just have, like, oh, let's have this cool cinematography because I just want to jack off to how good I am at fucking filming a scene, but doesn't bother to put anything that any actual depth. Like, doesn't have any of the interesting dialogue. There's not a single line of dialogue in this movie that you could quote, that you could remember, that you could have a conversation about, besides the fact you're making fun of it. So this is legit, to me, the worst Nolan movie I've ever fucking seen. I'm not a huge fan of Memento. I don't like non-linear narratives, but I still think that that's a great movie, and I can understand why people like it. This, to me, the bottom. I don't think he's ever going to make a worse movie than this. At least I hope he doesn't. And walking out, like, I was honestly, like, fucking as loud as I was in the street with my friends yelling at this movie because nothing gets explained. There is no point where he tells you, hey, what's going on? Maybe you can understand what's going on. We just talk about the climax in which they're shooting fucking nothing. We don't even know what happened in the climax at all. It is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever had to fucking sit through. And I honestly just almost walked out of this fucking movie. Because there's a scene in which two characters are talking about the plot and both have fucking gas masks on. And I've referenced it a couple times because you legit cannot hear a fucking thing. Like, it literally just goes wah-wah for 30 fucking seconds. And I think he's explained to him the goal of the fucking third act. And I'm literally, like, almost yelling at the screen knowing you are a fucking betrayal of everything that you stood for the last bunch of your entire fucking career up to this point. All you are right now is just action set piece, man. And that is not what you did when you made the Batman movies. That is not what you did when you made Inception. And that is not what you did when you made The Prestige or when you made Interstellar. There are issues with the last act Interstellar, but not nearly as bad as this. So honestly, to me, this is 2 out of 5 Nintendo Power Gloves out of, like, whatever the fuck he did to pick up that bullet, like, out of 5. And I've never been more pissed at you.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, I know how to do this now.
I guess so. I guess time travel doesn't have that much of a learning curve. Just try it twice, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay, well. Wow. Thank you, Alan. That was amazing. Listen to this. Okay, so that's the non-spoiler section. Now, join us on the subscriber forum and listen to the rest of this. Okay, I gotta go back and edit this, don't I? Hold on, let me invert myself.
Are you?